Hello, I'm here with Dr. Andrew Farah, Chief of Psychiatry of the High Point Section of UNC Healthcare. And today we're going to discuss the difference in folate therapies. Good morning, Dr. Farah.
Good morning, Angela, and thanks for having me. And this is an important topic and one of the most important we're going to cover because there's just so much confusion out there about which folates you need and how you treat depression with them and so forth. So why are we even talking about this? So what is the link between folate and depression? Well, we know that reduced folate, metabolized folate, is a necessary cofactor for the synthesis of neurotransmitters. So to make monoamines, to make norepinephrine, serotonin, and dopamine, you need an adequate supply across the blood-brain barrier of reduced folate. So that all goes back to the homocysteine cycle. When we break down homocysteine, we not only produce antioxidants, but we help produce neurotransmitters. And that first step to go from homocysteine to methionine is dependent on reduced B12 and reduced folate. Now, this has led to folks using folates as augmentation strategies, as monotherapy. And if you look at the literature going back to the 60s, you get very confused because there are all different forms of folates used. There are all different doses used. There are all different comorbidities mentioned. And there's inpatient trials, outpatient trials, add-on therapy, monotherapy. So where do we begin to make sense of that? And that's what we're going to try to do in the next few minutes. So I think the first place to start is knowing that there is something called a folate pool across the blood-brain barrier. So all forms of folate are actually necessary for various reactions in the brain and the central nervous system. Now, the reality is we're a bunch of psychiatrists, and we talk about monoamines and neurotransmitters all day, and we write about them and think about them. But the vast majority of folate being used across the blood-brain barrier is really being used for RNA and DNA transcription. So the cofactor necessary there is, of course, reduced folate, one of the many. But the bottom line is that most folate is not being used for the monoamine synthesis, even though that's our focus today. But that's why it's very, very important to what we call replenish the folate pool with all forms of folate, all in all stages of reduction, because if you don't replenish that pool, then what little bits you might give hoping to achieve a balance in serotonin, well, that's going to get zapped up by the RNA and DNA transcription. So it's important to give all forms, and that's the first point that I want to make. So again, only a tiny percentage is used for monoamine. So it's also true that you need to give an adequate dose of folate and an adequate dose of B vitamins. There's a classic study of Wernicke's encephalopathy where people were not responding to thiamine, and a bunch of docs said, well, listen, there, you know, there'd be one level. We've got that therapeutic. We got it in the normal range. But when we want to use B vitamins for therapeutic purposes, we find we have to use higher doses, and the ranges in the periphery don't help us. In fact, they have to be high because we're not talking about a normal level in the periphery. We're talking about getting a reduced form across the blood-brain barrier. And again, we need all forms of folate. I know that L-methylfolate in its prescription form has been marketed very heavily. And one of the marketing tactics was to say you can only use our form of folate because ours is the only one to get on that folate transporter to cross that blood-brain barrier and to be utilized for monoamine synthesis. Now, that turns out not to be true. That comes from I was able to track down where that came from. It was a paper in 2002 out of Scandinavia where it was a theoretical consideration that the folate transporter may be able to take only reduced folate. But the reality is that was an interesting theoretical leap when we only knew of one folate transporter, but there are at least four folate transporters, particularly crossing the blood-brain barrier, and they take all forms of folate because all forms are necessary for various reactions. So it's simply not true. It was a great marketing strategy to kind of extrapolate that, I suppose, based on one person's statement, but it was a vague statement and it's simply not true. And I think you could have almost made that argument when there was one folate transporter that was less well-defined than the three or four we are pretty well-defined with now. So just dispel that notion. The reality is your brain needs all forms of folate, and that's why InLight shines so much, because it has delta folate. It has all the forms you need, right? It has everything, the most reduced form and the partially reduced forms that the brain is getting used to. Because, again, these drugs do come into the body as prodrugs, and it's really an issue of metabolizing the folates down like you would metabolize a prodrug down to the active form. And again, all forms are necessary. And again, the reason we're talking about this is the vast majority of depressed patients have that MTHFR polymorphism, and that is methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase. You know, there's that last step in the synthesis of your reduced folate, and it's just defective in the majority of depressed individuals. But we also have to give all the other B vitamins with it. It's just not enough. If all you do is flood the system with folate, well, yes, you can go from homocysteine methionine, but you can also go back upstream and make more homocysteine. So it can be a two-way street if you don't give enough reduced B12 as well. Then we have a one-way street and we reduce the homocysteine and make neurotransmitters. We don't flow back and make more homocysteine. It's also important to give B6 because 50% of homocysteine is metabolized through B6 to make antioxidants. And when patients are stressed, when they're depressed and stress is occurring, they have oxidative stress in their brain. And what does their brain do? It says, I'm going to go into protective mode. And it begins making antioxidants at the expense of neurotransmitters. So you need to have the B6 with the B12 and the folate as well. So that would be my final point, is that when somebody tells me, well, I didn't use Enlight in this patient because it was just situational stress and situational depression, I say, well, that's precisely the time when they might benefit the most. Certainly those who have genetic predispositions to have low B vitamins across the blood-brain barrier, but those people under acute stress, again, their brain is going into a different mode of survival. It's not thinking about making serotonin. It's thinking about making antioxidants. So they need all the tools available. And Enlight has all the optimal ingredients for not only homocysteine reduction and antioxidant production, but neurotransmitter production. And again, it has all the forms of folate necessary. And so if you remember one thing, I think Enlight is your go-to. It has all the folates to replenish the folate pool. And again, you don't have to give just one form. Folate transport is, in fact, available to all forms of folate across the blood-brain barrier. So I hope that answered all the questions, and it's a complex topic, so go ahead and visit InlightRx.com. There's more information there. So thanks, Angela.
Thank you.